Okay, Beach Grove, this morning let's turn to the book of Romans. That would be in your New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, the first of the 13 epistles written by the Apostle Paul. And we're going to start off right here in chapter number 1, but we're going to start at verse number 18 and read 18 through 23. So Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. And do you have your places in your Bible? Amen. Yes, you do. Great. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning for these verses. And it says this: the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. And we'll stop right there. Father, let's pray. Father God, oh, these words that are so clear, these words that you inspired your Apostle Paul to write. Father, let's have them sink into us, Father, into the depths of our minds and into the depths of our hearts here today. That, Father, that we learn a lot from this, that we take these words to heart and be transformed by them, and in turn take them out into the world and how we use them out in this world here today, Lord. So, Father, I hide behind the cross as I speak this message here today, Father, and I pray that the words that I do say will glorify you. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Well, we're winding down in this sermon series titled The American Christian, and this is week number 10. Don't you wish you just kind of like had a magic wand and could just fix America, fix the problems that we had, fix the people? Well, that's what we've been trying to identify over these weeks in this sermon series, identifying this issue and that issue and this issue. But the bottom line is this, and I think I said this in week number 1. There is one underlying factor in what's wrong with America. It's a three-letter word. The middle letter is the letter I. The first letter is the letter S. And the last letter is the letter N. It is what? Sin. Sin is the problem. Sin is running its course in America. And sin, my friends, is running amok in America today. And maybe some of that is because of media and technology. Let's face it, we have a lot of media and technology at our hands today than what we did, let's say, 30, 50, 100 years ago. And we all know it's not just newspapers, we have computers, we have Facebook, we have what they call social media, and we have all these things. And we get to see a lot of this far more than what we did. But I believe it's more rampant now than what it has been in the past. Let's face it, Satan is behind all this. He wants to see the collapse of everything because really Satan doesn't love anybody. Okay, he doesn't love God, he doesn't love me, and he doesn't love you. And he really doesn't want you in hell, he just doesn't want you with God. So Satan's behind all this. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us this: the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And so we know this, that many unbelievers, we know this, we look at them and we think, these people are just no longer interested in the gospel message, and maybe that's true, but know this, the God, little g, of this age, that'd be Satan, he has covered their eyes and he has blinded their eyes and their hearts to the truth. And 2 Corinthians 11 verse 5 says this, "And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light." And I've been saying this over the last couple weeks, and I don't mind saying it again, that I am thoroughly convinced that Satan's representatives are standing in pulpits across America today as we speak, masquerading as angels of light. Now, here's something profound that you might want to write down or take to heart. Satan does not want to fight the church. Satan wants to join the church, because that's where he's going to do his best work. Well, it is said that the United States of America, and I believe this, was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And I believe that there was a time in the life of the United States of America when we were doing a fairly good job of following those Judeo-Christian principles. And I believe that while America was following Judeo-Christian principles, God was blessing America. There's no doubt about that. I believe at one point in time, this was a very blessed nation. Here's a quote from George Washington from over 200 years ago. And George says this, and I quote, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." I believe at one point in time, that's how our governing officials thought and talked. That was an amazing thing. I wish we would see some of that today. But that was back when churches were upholding the truth. And that was back when governing officials had integrity. And that was back when parents and teachers were more concerned about their children than they were for themselves. And that was back when people followed their conscience more than what they do today. And I would say that the United States of America did a fairly good job of being a Christian nation up until, I'm going to say, the transition probably started somewhere between 1950 to 1960, somewhere in that era, probably closer to 1960. In other words, post-World War II. To me, that's when America started this sliding into the mess that we are in today. So what kind of happened? Well, just very generically speaking, around 1950, 1960, Americans gradually quit following their consciences. And around 1950, 1960, American parents gradually took the focus off the family and placed it on themselves. And around 1950, 1960, American governing authorities gradually started to become self-serving instead of serving the people. And around 1950 to 1960, American churches gradually became more like the culture and more like the world than coming out and being separate from the world like Scripture tells us to be. So here's the question that we're going to try to answer today. Actually, a couple of them. So what does God think of America of 2016, and what is He doing about it? Does anybody really know the answer to that? What does God think of our country? And what's He doing about it? I believe the Bible gives us a very good look at where America has gone, where America is going, and what God is doing in response to our situation today. But first, what does God see in America today? Well, I can only mention a few things that I know that we see, and I guarantee this, God sees a whole lot more than what we see, okay? So here's just a couple, and I mentioned these probably a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to go through just a few of these again. Our moral standards are in the toilet. Abortions are at a rate in America of about 1 million per year. There is serious corruption in our government in the form of lying, cheating, and stealing. People are lazy and they don't want to work. Men are changing into women and women are changing into men. It's no longer about the gender in which we were born. It's about the gender in which I want to identify myself. Mass shootings and mass bombings of innocent people in public places are now commonplace. Creation is out and evolution is now in. And probably the most severe one of all, which kind of encompasses all this, is we no longer believe that our evil actions have any more consequences. We can just do whatever we want without any repercussions. I believe a nation, the United States of America, that once rested on Judeo-Christian principles, I don't believe we no longer rest on Judeo-Christian principles. Oh, there might be pockets of us here and there, and that's a great thing. And I know I've given you this stat before. Did you know that anywhere between 70% to 85% of Americans say that they are Christians? I assure you this, my friends. If 70% to 85% of Americans were Christians, that would not be America out there today. So obviously, somebody, when they're taking the polls, is lying. I believe that poll, that number is a joke. In my honest opinion, I think it's anywhere between 5 to 10%, because I believe there might be 10%. What do we have, 300 million Americans today? 10% of them, that's what, 30 million Americans be Christians? And that's given Americans the benefit of the doubt, if you ask me. The America of 2016 wants God out of our homes. We want God out of our schools. We want God out of our government. We want God out of our businesses. We want God removed from the Pledge of Allegiance. We want God removed from our money and our currency. And we want God removed out of our own lives. So what's God doing in return? He is honoring our request. It's as if God is saying, if you don't want me no more, I'll leave. In Acts chapter 14, verse 16, the Apostle Paul tells the people, and this is actually written on the front of your bulletin. It's the little verse I have there. Paul's given a little speech to the people who, Paul causes a riot. Well, Paul always caused riots, but in this particular riot, he says this to the people, in the generations gone by, He, meaning God, has permitted all nations to go their own ways. Did you know that America is no different? I'm sure this is not going to come as any surprise to any of you, but America is not God's chosen people. That would be Israel. We may have been a blessed nation, but we are not God's chosen people. We need to remember that. America is going, and we will continue to go our own way. And we're going to follow our own selfish desires, and God is going to permit it. Let's look back at Romans chapter 1. Verses 18 through 23. So if you have your Bibles, please keep them open, because for the remainder of the message here this morning, we're going to be going back and forth between verses 18 through 23. Those verses right there, those six verses, 18 through 23, they set the tone for what's happening in America today. In verses 19 and 20, let's look there. Verses 19 and 20, we see that God has made himself known to us. Starting with verse 19, let's read that. Since what has been made known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so men are without excuse. Folks, I know I've said this before many times. If you can't look out at creation and know that a creation must have a what? A creator, that you got to be a fool. So God has made himself plain to everybody on the face of this earth, including Americans, especially Americans, that he exists. But what have we done? We don't want God anymore. We don't want to acknowledge that there's a God. We'd rather look for evolution. And what does evolution teach us? Evolution teaches us this: nothing times nothing equals everything. Now you tell me who's the fool here. Who's the fool? The one who thinks that nothing times nothing equals everything, or the person who says, you know, I believe there's a creator God, and he said, in the beginning, God created. That's where I prefer to go. But obviously, I think there are people, many, many people in America, who think that they don't want to know God, even though God has made himself known to them. It even says that they are, at the end of verse 20, they are without excuse. You're without excuse not to know that there's a God. But yet there are people in America that don't want to acknowledge that there is a God. So that takes us kind of backwards back to verse number 18, which says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who do what? They suppress the truth. I believe somewhere down inside each and every one of them that they know that there is a God. They just don't want to admit it or acknowledge it. They want to suppress the truth. So that's what they want to do. They want to suppress that truth of acknowledging that there's a God. So how has America suppressed this truth? Well, that takes us to verses 22 and 23, which says this, and it says, starting with verse 21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Starting with verse number 22. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. Wow, there's a whole sermon series right there, my friends. They thought they were wise, but they became fools and did what? And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. In other words, well, it might have been mortal man, and it might have been birds, and it might have been animals, and it might have been reptiles back in the days of Paul that they were honoring. But let me just substitute words that we would use here in 21st century America. First of all, they're not honoring the Creator God, the one God who made everything. But our gods today are what? Our jobs, and our possessions, and our status, and our houses, and our cars, in our drugs, in our internet, and the worst one of all, the one that we make the God the most, is our self. We are now the gods of our own lives. Those other things that Paul talks about, okay, we don't have birds and reptiles and animals, maybe we don't worship them, but we certainly worship these other things, don't we? All these other things that we have accumulated over the years. We have become a very materialistic society. So what is God doing in response? Back to verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed. The wrath of God. And that's how we're going to finish up here today. The wrath of God. Well, what kind of wrath are you referring to, Mike? Well, I believe that there are five different types of wrath. And I believe in this particular case, he's talking about the fifth one, and we're going to get there. But let's talk about the different types of wrath that God might have. And these are listed in your bulletin. You have lines there. You can take whatever notes you feel free to take whatever notes you want. The first one, the first type of wrath. This is not the type of wrath he's referring to, but there is eternal wrath. Eternal wrath is the punishment that God will bring upon those unbelievers and those unbelieving sinners who will spend forever in hell. It's an eternal wrath. It's going to be the eternal punishment of God to those unbelievers. Jesus says this in Matthew 25, 46. This is part of the Olivet Discourse. He's talking to the disciples about end times and about eternity. He's talking to them about the sheep and the goats. And he says this in verse 46. He's talking about the goats. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Yes, hell is eternal, hell is hot, and hell is part of God's wrath. So that's the first kind of wrath that God has. The second one, there's also something called eschatological wrath. And the study of eschatology is the study of end times. So eschatological wrath is the wrath of God that he releases at the end of the world. Now, you can read about that in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 28. And you can look at pretty much the whole book of Revelation, which is chapter 6 through 18. We'll talk about the wrath, the eschatological wrath of God. It's when there's going to be earthquakes and famines and all these things, and this seal's going to be opened and this trumpet's going to be blown, and it's not going to be a pretty place to live at that time. It's all going to be wrath that God's going to incur on the earth at that period of time. So you have eternal wrath, you have eschatological wrath, then you have a third one called cataclysmic wrath. Well, what's that? Well, we all know what cataclysms are. And the cataclysmic wrath will be things like tsunamis or volcano eruptions, hurricanes, earthquakes. But let me put a little caveat on this, a little time out. I'm not saying that every hurricane, every tornado, every flood, every, you know, whatever it might be, is going to be, every natural event of such is a form of the wrath of God. I am not saying that in the least. But I am saying this, it is possible. It could be. Because I have a real good example of one. Actually, I got two. Genesis 6 through 9. I think there was a worldwide flood. And I think that was a really good example of cataclysmic wrath, where God said, I'm going to wipe out the whole face of the earth except for Noah and seven other lucky people. Because Noah found favor in the eyes of God. The other seven people were just part of the family. So we have cataclysmic wrath. And also, I believe it's Genesis 19. I believe there was a couple cities God destroyed because of their immorality. Sodom and Gomorrah. Cataclysmic wrath. Yes, things happen and they are part of God's judgment. Are they all part of God's judgment? I don't know. I'm not going to go there. I'll let you decide that. And a fourth one. Consequential wrath. Consequential wrath is the result of what we reap and what we sow. Remember, we will reap what we sow. If you live a certain lifestyle, then you just may be setting yourself up for certain forces of God to produce certain judgments on you as an individual. Now, this is almost kind of like what we're getting to here in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. But let me give you a couple examples of consequential wrath. One's laziness and gluttony could lead a person into serious health problems. One's greed could lead one into financial woes and possibly even a gambling addiction. One's envy could possibly lead them into a deadly confrontation with a very jealous spouse. One's lust and sexual promiscuity could lead one into contracting a venereal disease or AIDS or something like that. May I remind all of us, our actions do have consequences. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 8 says this, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." So if you sow in a spiritual direction, you'll reap spiritual blessings. If you reap to please the flesh, if you sow to please the flesh, you will reap the consequences of those. So those are four possible ways that God can inflict wrath on us. And that's why I titled the sermon, "The Wraths of God." There's many different types of wrath of God, but there's a fifth type of wrath, and I think that is specifically what God is talking about here and what Paul is mentioning in the book of Romans. And this fifth type of wrath, I believe, is what America is under right now. And what type of wrath is that? It is the wrath of abandonment. Abandonment. God is letting us go. He's letting us go. He is removing his restraining grace, that restraining grace that has kept America, this Christian nation, living under these Judeo-Christian principles for all this time. Because we would rather please ourselves than please God. And God is saying, okay, I will let you go. Restraining grace, and I'll talk about this more next week. Do we realize, if we think America is in bad shape, Just think if America let go of, excuse me, if God removed all his restraining grace, bad people would be worse and good people wouldn't be so good. Do you realize that you're not that bad and I'm not that bad because God has his restraining grace on us? And we need to remember that. But I believe right now he's letting us go. God is allowing us to become the evil nation that we have the potential to be. Remember Acts chapter 14, verse 16, that throughout the generations, God has allowed nations to do what? To go their own way. Just let them go, is what God's saying. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus is having a discussion with his disciples about the Pharisees, and he says this, "Let them alone. They are blind guides. And when the blind lead the blind, what happens? They both do what? Fall into a pit." In other words, let them reap what they have sown. And likewise, I believe that's exactly what's happening in America today. He is allowing America to wallow in the harvest of our ungodliness, of our unrighteousness, and our evil ways. It's happening. We are part of history. And the prophecy that is written right here is being revealed right in front of us. So is God really abandoning America? Wait a second, we're the home of the free, the land of the free, and the home of the brave, aren't we? Aren't we built on Judeo-Christian principles? Is God really abandoning us? Well, I'll let you decide, because I've already made up my mind, and I know what I see. I know what I see. And how do we know? How do we know for sure that if God is abandoning us, he is abandoning us? That's a great question that will be answered next Sunday. So, how do we know? I'll give you a hint. It's the remainder of the chapter. Let's go to God in prayer.